How many of you would agree that it is good to be clean and to stand before God with a pure heart? To be able to lift my hands. Listen, not because Kirk Hall got it all figured out. He's got his life on the right track. Man, my life was going in the sewer. Jesus Christ rescued me from the mud and the mire, and He set my feet on the solid rock. Amen. Just as the psalmist wrote, I'm thankful today that my hope is in Him. I'm thankful today that my cleansing in Him is in Him. I'm thankful today that every ounce of forgiveness that I have, I did not earn it, but He paid for it. So when I surrender to Jesus Christ, I surrender to redemption, I surrender to forgiveness, I surrender to eternal life, I surrender to the Holy Spirit's convicting power on my life. I feel His presence, His leadership, His guidance in my life. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, His willingness to die on a cross for me, to save me. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon is going to give us the simple conclusion to a lot of the things and lessons that we have gathered so far in looking at Ecclesiastes. How many of you have read Ecclesiastes on your own just because we've been talking about it? Be honest, you're allowed to read the Bible in church. I wish that you would. Let me say this, I encourage you to just dive off in this and see what it's all about, because what happens is you dive off in this and you go, wait a second. Everything that I've ever done in my life, this guy who's supposed to be so wise is telling me it's worthless. Everything that I've ever chased after under the sun is meaningless. And at first, you know, it kind of offends me, because I was brought up, man, you just go chase your dreams and you set your goals and you find what you want in life and you go get it, boy. And you know what happens so many times? We find ourselves chasing meaningless things. Temporal things. And I'm no fool. I know some of you here today, you're still chasing those things. You're going to hear me say it till I'm blue in the face. You're going to read it straight out of God's Word that those things are meaningless, and you're going to continue to do whatever it is that you want to do, because at the end of the day, here's the thing. People do what they want to do. You're no exception. I'm not foolish enough to think that you're going to do something just because God said do it, unless you're in the right frame of mind and you've conditioned your heart to follow the Holy Spirit. I pray that's where you find yourself someday. I pray that's where I live my life. I pray that's where I walk. Because at the end of the day, here's the thing. I'm only going to do the things that I want to do. But I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is inside of me, conforming my wants to the same wants that God has for me. I pray that you would see that come to fruition in your life. You would see that growth process. Some of you, you've been a Christian a month. I don't expect you to really get it. You're getting it. He's doing a work in you. Just sit back and let Him do His work. But Solomon tells us all this stuff, man, and I feel like if I've been chasing after the things of this world, I feel like I've been chasing after meaningless things. Here's the conclusion. You have. You have. And some of you are going to come to the conclusion of this. Well, I've just wasted my whole life. Let me help you. You have. You have. That's what Solomon came to the conclusion. Everything that I have done that was chasing after the things of this world, that was a waste. What I want to encourage some of you Christians to do, and I know this is not the popular thing to do in the American church, I want to encourage you guys to listen to this simple truth and stop wasting your life on the things that don't matter. Because if you can't take it with you, if it doesn't wait for you in heaven right now, whether in the form of an inheritance that Christ paid for you to have or Christ Himself, if it does not, or loved ones who have gone before in the Lord, if it doesn't wait for you in heaven, it doesn't matter. Have we forgotten the concept that this is not our home, we're only passing through? That's just a question. You have to answer that in your own heart. But as we look at this and as he concludes, and I love it because he concludes. And what's funny is he concludes just like I would conclude. You can tell by his tone. Here's the conclusion. Solomon. Richest, wisest man probably to ever walk the face of the earth other than Jesus. The son of King David. Part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Throws his hands up in the air and said, here's all that matters. Here's all that matters. When we get down to it, when it's all said and done, here is all of it in a nutshell. And he's going to explain that to us in just a moment in Ecclesiastes. And it's so simple. So simple. Have you noticed the simple things are really the wise things in God's kingdom? The complicated things, we've created those things. So if I ask each of you today, how many of you live complicated lives? Just be honest. If you have one of those stupid smartphones, you live a complicated life. And it just keeps getting more complicated, right? Because every time you think you have it figured out, they come out with a new operating system. And every time you answer a call, they try to get you to download it. I don't want it. I just figured out the first one. I'm still like iPhone 3 probably, my capacity. Here's the thing. Everything's complicated, isn't it? How many of you have ever been to a church environment that was so complicated? The simple message of the gospel had been diluted by all the complicated things of religion. So thankful that we don't have to be that place. They can just be about Jesus and nobody gets mad about it. And if they do get mad about it, they just leave and they go someplace so they can complicate their walk with God. But it's not complicated, is it? Here, look, I'll talk caveman for you. Me, Kirk, me, sinner, Jesus, he, God, he come down, he died for me, he rescued me, the end. You say, well, man, that's just too simple. No, what the thing is, that's the greatest thing that ever happened. And you know how God has confounded those people who have worldly wisdom with the simple things, the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of his message throughout all of Scripture. Solomon's going to come to the conclusion, boy, haven't I complicated my life with meaningless things. Here's what it comes down to. Y'all read this with me. We'll talk about it. Ecclesiastes 12, 9, verse 9 through verse 14. You there? He says this, but we'll look at verse 8 because I want you to see that verse. We've seen it a lot of times, but let's read it one more time. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. That's right before that's his springboard into his conclusion. That is the diving board. He just walked the plank and he's about to plunge into what we really need to pay attention to. Because not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to people. He's talking about himself, man. He's like, well, not only was I wise, but I taught a bunch of people a lot of good things. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. And he worked hard to be somebody so that others would come to him for the answers to their questions. People get upset with me when they come to me for an answer. I say, Jesus. They come back 2 weeks later and they think there's a different answer. And I say, Jesus. And then they say, do you have nothing else to offer? No, silver and gold have I none. All I have is Jesus. He goes on and he says, the teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. He said, I didn't say the wrong things, and I didn't write down the wrong things. They're true. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails. He says, there's value in wise words given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. He said, okay, don't take any more than these wise words that come from a godly person. He said, of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. All of the teenagers in here who go to school and study all the time, and all you college students said, yes, praise the Lord. What he's saying is this, you're going to wear yourself out complicating things. How many of you understand revelation is the key? Inspiration by the Holy Spirit is the key in walking with God. I don't care if you go home tonight and you lead yourself to read the Bible from cover to cover. If the Holy Spirit was not illuminating that for you, it's meaningless. You can read, you can gather, you can search, you can go to Lifeway and spend millions of dollars on books with people's names on it. All they do is copy what Jesus said and get paid for it. You can do that. But the fact of the matter is this, hey, those things are good. You can waste your life away trying to get smart and still be dumb as a box of rocks in comparison to the wisdom and the knowledge that God has at his disposal. So we go on and we read this. He says, verse 12, of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. In verse 13 he says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of this matter. Here's the end. Here's what I wrote, all this that I wrote about things being meaningless and things being useless and the fact that at the end we all die. We all have to give an account. Here's what he says. Fear God. Here's the conclusion to this whole book. All the words that he wrote in. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty. This is the whole duty. This is the underlying whole duty of man. Man, life just got simple, didn't it? This is the whole duty of man. Oh, you thought it was to chase your dreams, your goals, your desires, and all those meaningless things. For God will bring every deed, he says in verse 14. For God will bring every deed. He's telling us why. Why is this where the rubber meets the road? Why is this the conclusion in a nutshell? For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing. Oh, I'm glad that all of my deeds are hidden in Christ, not hidden in my own schemes to hide them. I'm covered. We'll talk about that more in a second. Whether it is good or evil. So let's look at this. What does this mean in English, Kirk? Help us out. Number one, it means this. Write this down. This is what he's saying. This is Ecclesiastes in a nutshell. Number one, earthly success, meaningless. Write that down. Point number one. Because guess what? This isn't my first day. I know that some of you are still, I can pound on this pulpit, I can show you in the Word of God how we're not to chase earthly success. Some of you are so just distracted by filling your bank account with the things of this earth that you are missing out on the eternal thing. You say, well, Kirk, you gotta have money to live. You do, don't you? You do. And you know, mom and dad said, I need to be successful, so they spent lots of money so that I could go to college, and that's not a bad thing. He didn't say learning and wisdom and knowledge was a bad thing. He said it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have. But don't miss the point. If you have all these things and you have no fear for God and you have no desire to be obedient to what God leads you to do, you are missing the simple point. If some of you here are successful. Let me say this. If you're successful, thank God for the success, because it's only by His grace that you have it. And if you're chasing success, the success that this world has to offer, if you are chasing it, it is going to distract you in your spiritual life. It is going to lead you down a road of idolatry. Before you know it, you will be worshiping success. And Solomon has told us, and if you go back and you read Ecclesiastes, he tells us and reiterates all of his success is meaningless. Earthly success. You're trying to get that promotion? That's your objective in life, is to get ahead and to compete with Brother Bob, your older brother, to be somebody. Have you ever noticed the trend in Christianity nowadays is to be somebody? Can I help all of you? You will never be someone for God until you're no one. Let me give you the lesson of my life. I thought, hey man, I gotta do all I have to do so that I can become the preacher that I would say God wants me to be, but it was who I wanted me to be. Because I was taught incorrectly that preachers were somebody. That's why we wear a suit and everybody else just wears a t-shirt. That's why we act as if we know more than the average Christian, because we have to have that high esteem. We have these big doctoral rings so that we can knock them on the pulpit to get people's attention of our ring. I don't have one. This is my wedding ring. Greatest achievement in my life. Thank you, Lord. She kept me. But the thing is, listen. We are taught, even in the church, to chase after spiritual success. You know what I pray for more than anything? That we have a church full of nobodies with a pastor who's a nobody leading them to somebody, Jesus. I know that's messed up. That's backward, right? Because I'm supposed to have a website with my name on it. It's supposed to be named after me. And a picture of me and Brandy hugging. Right? And with these big fake smiles, because we never have any trials in our life. We never argue. We never have any tribulation. We're not real people. Right? I know I'm supposed to go get my teeth bleached and my hair dyed. Okay? But here's the real deal. If I wanted to, I got teenagers. I can't afford any of that. I'm not going to preach the prosperity message so that I can, because it's a lie. Amen. So when we chase success, we miss the simple thing that Solomon's teaching us here. It's not about success. If I live my life chasing success, and that's the most important thing to me, I'll do anything to gain success. If you don't think you will, you just sit back and watch. Start chasing it. You'll compromise your conviction. Some of us know we've done it. You'll change the way you think about issues. Y'all seen politicians? How they flip? This person said they believe this and we're going to do this. And then they got into office and the pressure ate them up because they wanted to succeed more than they wanted to be right with the God who they're going to stand before someday. Earthly success is meaningless. Solomon saw that. He's wrapping this up for us. Earthly gain, meaningless. Because, you know, that's really why we think we're all here, right? Get rich. Wouldn't it be easy if you could just walk into a convenience store and scratch off a little thing and win millions of dollars? I want to help y'all. Look, please, I want to help you. None of you in here, you're never going to win the lottery. But if every one of you gave a dollar that you're going to waste trying to win the lottery, every time you wanted to waste it to try to win the lottery, listen, I'm not anti-lottery. I mean, for you, I am for me. I'm not telling you you're going to hell for scratching off. But I'll tell you this. That same dollar that you spend all the time over the course of time could feed a starving soul and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ for eternity somewhere. So put that in your pipe. You smoke it. God convicts you. I'd probably stop scratching off. Start sending money to people who need the Lord Jesus Christ and who one day you'll see in eternity. Oh, what a thing that would be to get to heaven and Jesus walk up with this young child and say, this young child became a follower of Jesus Christ because you stopped scratching off. And you decided, I know I'm never going to win this thing, but I can win souls for the cause of Jesus Christ with the same money. But we're considering earthly gain. We want more. How do you live in America and want more? Most of you people have a house for your car when the rest of the world doesn't even have a house. How can you want more? But isn't that what we chase? Isn't that what we've been taught to chase? Here's what the Word of God says about it. Near, you can take the Word of God, you can leave the Word of God, but He's going to say it comes down to two simple things. Fearing God and what He says and being obedient to what He says. Jesus Himself said, don't store treasures on this earth. Would we please get that, church? Would we please get it? Here's the thing. You say, well, is there something wrong with having money? No. Not unless you hold on to it after God says, let go of it. Not unless you invest it on you when God says, invest it in my kingdom. That's when it becomes a problem, isn't it? Earthly gain. Here's what Solomon says, meaningless. Meaningless. There's no value to it. You say, well, preacher, why are you telling this, man? This is depressing. It's depressing because you're chasing after earthly gain. I would be depressed too. Because wouldn't it stink to spend your whole life running after something that one day is going to end, you can't take it with you, and you wasted your God-given life on this earth on you. And here's what he just said. You're going to stand before God and you're going to get an account for it. Well, that's where the rubber meets the road. It's meaningless because guess what? I'm going to stand before God and it doesn't matter how much money I have in my bank account when I stand before Him. Because that doesn't matter to Him. I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to answer for some things. We'll talk about that in a second. Earthly success, meaningless. Earthly gain, meaningless. Earthly pleasure, meaningless. Meaningless. Man, we chase after pleasure, man. We like to do things. You look right now, I promise you, I love to fish. I love to be on the water. It's an earthly pleasure. I love to be in the woods. I love God's creation. I love to hike up in the mountains where I don't hear a single person at all, unless it's my wife. She's usually singing so bears don't come near. And there's nothing wrong with those things. Solomon has taught us that. There's nothing wrong with the good times in this life. But here's the thing. When that's your whole purpose, entertaining yourself? This is going to hurt. If you spend more on your 433 TV channels that you don't even watch than you give to God's eternal kingdom, there's an issue. There's an issue. I might say, hey, listen, I'm not beating on giving. Hey, if God leads you to give, give. But if it's about your pleasure, let me say this. You spend more on entertainment than you invest in eternal things. You're missing the point. Because one day, guess what? Do you realize we are going to give an account? Everything we brought under his inspection. Everything. Oh, interesting. It's quiet here today. Earthly success, meaningless. Earthly gain, meaningless. Earthly pleasure, meaningless. How many of you would say, man, I've chased after all those. I'm in trouble. Been there, right? It's the distraction of our flesh. It's the distraction of this world. Here's what I want to do. I want to help you so that you're not distracted any longer. I want to help me so that I get it, that I get the simple things and the wisdom from God that says, here, those things don't matter. Solomon, the wisest, most knowledgeable man, definitely in his time, says this, all my knowledge, all my wisdom that I've acquired, meaningless. Meaningless. I can't take it with me. I've met preachers who their head is so stuck in the Bible trying to be smarter than the preacher down the road that they miss the point. I don't care if you can speak Hebrew, read Greek, write out Greek letters, if you can impress everybody with your intellectual knowledge and your gain of Scripture. Are you preaching the simple truth that man will stand before God one day and he will, A, stand before God in Christ, or he will stand before God in sin? Period. End of discussion. That's where it's at. That's a simple message. You say, don't get distracted by all these things. Your career, your money, your pleasure, entertaining yourself, your knowledge. Man, you got 15 degrees. You know what? You can stand before God with 15 doctoral degrees and still be dumb in comparison to His riches and His vastness of His wisdom and knowledge. He spoke every cell in your body into existence. What He's saying is this, you're going to stand before God and none of this is going to count for anything. Nothing. Well, it's going to count for something. Here's the conclusion. Here's where He ends it all. He says, okay, I found this. At the end of the day, to conclude this matter, fear God, keep His command. Fear and obedience toward God is priceless. You can't put a value on it. You know why? Because that's eternal. That's eternal. You can't put a value on something eternal because you can't even understand it in your temporal mindset. You don't even get eternity. You get a little smidgen of, ooh, I get to live with God forever. And He puts that in our hearts. We read that just a few weeks ago. He's given us that little view of eternity, hopefully to excite us to know that here's the deal. All that matters is eternity. You know what I pray? I would to God. I plead with God. Lord, I want to be a part of a group of people that their biggest concern is eternity. That their biggest concern is eternity. You know what happens when your biggest concern is eternity? You live like your biggest concern is eternity. You live, you give, you reach others. You have a burden for lost people. You love people like there's no tomorrow. You forgive people like there's no tomorrow, just like Jesus did. You do the things that the Word of God calls obedience. So that's the conclusion of the matter. That's the simple truth of it all. If you want to simplify everything that I've said in these 12 chapters, here it is. Fear God. Be obedient. Why? Why is that important? God's judgment will be eternal. God's judgment will be eternal. If you're keeping notes, don't miss this part. Some of you are mad at me because I talked about your money. It's not yours. The sooner you realize that, man, I promise you, the peace that is going to overwhelm you when you realize that, you don't worry about that. It's awesome. I don't have to worry about those things. You know what I say at the end of the day? Something comes up, God already knew about it. Why? He's sovereign. And I know this, if there's a need that I have, He's already said beforehand, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, these things will be added unto you. If I know in my heart I'm seeking God, I'm taken care of. Churches, man, I would go to churches because I did live in my past life. I lived as a Baptist, and what you would do is you would go before these pastoral search committees and these staff search committees, and you'd go before these people, and they'd always want to talk money. Churches would ask you things like this, so, brother, what is it going to take financially for us to get you here with us? They would look at me like I was a crazy person when I said, I don't talk finances. I don't even talk about it. Y'all think I'm crazy. Listen, so did my wife lots of times. I don't talk finances. Never one single time have I talked finances with the church. Here's what I tell them. This is exactly what I tell them. Hope I never have to do it again. Here's what I tell them. Hey, I'll tell you what. If God leads you to call me to your church, and He leads me to come to your church, He's going to take care of me just the same as He always has. Now, it may not come from you. I understand. You're on a budget. That's cool. I get it. It may not come from you, but it's going to come from somewhere. Because He is always taking care of me. Why? Because I know, and He knows even more than that, that when you seek first His kingdom, everything else is going to take care of itself. And it's comforting to know that, isn't it? I don't have to chase the American dream. I don't. I rest in the eternal hope of Jesus Christ. And He takes care of everything. God's judgment is eternal. Don't forget that. That's why it's so important that you don't get sidetracked by the things of this earth. Because one day, every single one of you is going to be judged in one of two places. A lot of people don't understand this. Did you notice? I'll never stand with sinners and be judged. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'll never stand with sinners and be judged because watch this. Though I am in my flesh unredeemed, in my standing, I'm completely redeemed, forgiven forever, period. End of discussion. Not even going to argue with you. Jesus took care of it. Or I couldn't be called a child of God ever. So here's the cool thing about that. I'll never stand in judgment for my sin. But can you say that? Because I promise you, if you never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, your sin's not covered. You're going to give an answer for your sin. Look with me, Revelation chapter 20, if you don't believe me. Oh no, we're going to get to judgment and all this. I'm visiting this church because I wanted to feel good. Can I tell you, I feel good. I feel good. I have peace. I have hope. I have life. I have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. I don't want to feel good in my flesh. Because when I've ever felt good in my flesh, guess what? God said that's disobedience. Hello? Wow. If we say it, then that means we testify to it. Then we have to accept it. Revelation 20, verse 11. Y'all pay attention to this judgment. Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small. Here's the thing. You won't see me there. Ha! I'm never going to die. Christian, please get this. I don't want you to read this and be afraid. Now, when we read the next part that we're going to look at, you need to really check yourself. But I can read this and I don't have to be afraid because I am never going to die, nor will I ever be counted among the dead. This flesh that is already decayed anyways is going to pass away. But old Kirk has been redeemed in Christ, and Jesus said this, He who believes in me shall never die. Either you believe the Word of God or you don't believe the Word of God, but I happen to believe the Word of God, and that's the hope that I have. Man, y'all pardon me if I get a little excited. I know people say, well, is he mad? I'm not mad, I promise. I'm excited. Because I'm not going to be here. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. I'm never going to Hades. Woohoo! Goes on, he says, and each person was judged according to what he had done. The only thing that they had to offer, the only thing that they had done, death and Hades, watch this, is sin. They're going to be judged for their sin. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that my sin has already been judged. My sin was already judged on a cross. Jesus bore my sin for me. Don't ever forget that, because you don't fit in this category if you're a believer here today. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Did you see that? None of those people had eternal life at all, did they, in heaven? Did they? Death and Hades, they were judged for their sin and thrown into the eternal lake of fire. Keep on reading. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, let me tell you this, none of death and Hades' name was found written in the book of life. You know why God puts in there, put this in here? To show his justness. Here's the thing. They get what they deserve. You understand that? Here, listen, what I'm saying is this. I don't get what I deserve. Because guess what? Apart from Jesus Christ, I deserve death and hell and judgment and the lake of fire and all those things that we just read about. But I get more than I deserve. I get forgiveness. I get love. I get grace. I get mercy. I get redemption. I get eternal life with him because Jesus paid my penalty. So we see that. God's judgment is eternal. That's why fearing God and being obedient to God is important. Let me tell you this today. If God speaks to your heart and he says this through his Spirit to you, surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you better fear his voice. You better stand in reverence and say, thank you, Lord, that you are calling me out of my sin because, to be honest, I'm very sinful and I need forgiveness. Be honest. That's revering God. God, no, here's not revering God, playing like his voice is not speaking to you. Turning your back on him when he draws you out of darkness and into light. Trying to reject what he's offering you that you don't deserve. Stop fighting that fight. His judgment's eternal for the unbeliever. Watch this, for the believer. Here's the thing. Do you know this? Believers, you're going to be judged. Go like this. Not for your sin. Hallelujah. Not for your sin. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. I know y'all got things to do. It's Sunday. I'm hurrying. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 10. So by the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. He goes on to tell us this. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, this work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Okay? Who's he writing to in the Corinthian letter? To the church. He's saying this, your works are going to be tested by fire. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. How many of you understand? We as believers on this earth, we are storing up treasures in heaven. Everybody get that? An inheritance that will never ever perish, spoil, or fade. We will be rewarded for our obedience and our walk with God in this earth. Please get that. Because here's the thing. You know what's going to be the greatest honor that you've ever received in your life when you get to lay every single one of those rewards at the feet of Jesus to say, Jesus, without you, I could have done nothing. Without you, this crown is insignificant, but you've blessed me with this crown. Here, it's yours to keep. Verse 15 says, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved. Watch this. But only as one escaping through the flames. What is he saying? He's saying this. There will be people who will be saved, who wasted their whole life as a Christian on this earth, and every work that they did counts for nothing in regard to eternity. They'll be saved, but everything that they've done will perish because it was done with the wrong mindset. It was done with the wrong agenda. You had the wrong idea about how you were doing it or who you were doing it for. Please understand that. Because some of you come to church and do the things you do for God for the wrong reason. You want to be somebody. Stop wanting to be somebody. It's no fun. With it comes a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. I'm content with just being a nobody. Here's the thing. What is he telling us here? You're going to be judged. Your works are going to be judged. You don't believe me? Turn to 2 Corinthians. He's going to talk about it again to the same church. Pay attention, because I want you to understand what that means to every believer. Why? Because where the rubber meets the road is this. Fear God and be obedient. And some of you are not going to be rewarded for obedience in your Christian walk because you're not being obedient. Watch what he says here. Isn't it sad that the charismatic church in America is so concerned with earthly reward? They want new cars, man. Yeah, you'll have that thing for about $100,000, then it's gone. 100,000 years, my eternal rewards just started.
think about it. Why would I settle for earthly reward? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, watch what he says. To the church. Can we all agree on that? He's writing to the church. So in 1 Corinthians 1, the 1 Corinthians letter, what we just read a second ago in chapter 3, wasn't he telling the church, be careful what you do because some of the things that you do, they're going to be worthless? You're going to be saved because Jesus saved you. But spend your time on this earth doing something for Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says this, verse 9. So we make it our goal to please Him. Who? The church. Be concerned with pleasing Him. Well, how do we know what pleases Him? Get in the Word and find out what He says pleases Him. He's very clear on that. So when we make it our goal to please Him, what should my goals be? Here's the thing. When you go to college, you need to write out your list of goals and you need to do everything you can to achieve those goals. Here's your goal as a believer. Pay attention. I don't mean to crush your little dream. But here's what your goal ought to be according to the Word of God. Does anybody here still believe this? Look what he says. Verse 9, when we talk about goals, so we make it our goal to please Him. Wow. Wouldn't that mess the church up? Whether we're at home or in the body or away from it. He said, whether we're on this earth, in this old raggedy body, or we're in eternity, our goal is to please Him. Well, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who's he writing to? Church. Do you know what happened in the other judgment? In Revelation 20, they stood before the great white throne. And their sin was not paid for by Christ. Therefore, they inherited hell. They deserved it. I would have deserved it. Watch this. I still deserve it. But His grace and His mercy freed me from that. He redeemed me, just like we sang about a second ago, and He stamped on my life. All the things you've ever done in disobedience and all the things you've ever done in sin, they are paid in full. But don't think, and this is where Christians forget, don't think that just because your sins have been paid in full, you don't have a duty here on the earth. Your duty on this earth is to live and to do the things that please Him. Here's the good news. How many of you believers here today have the Holy Spirit inside of you? All of you, raise your hand. He has equipped you to be obedient. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Stop listening to the voice of your flesh, your wife, or this world. Because He has equipped you for obedience. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He tells us. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive what is due him. He's talking about rewards, not judgment. Watch this. For the things done while in the body. Whether they were good or bad. I'm going to help you. Okay, I'm going to give you some knowledge here. Good or bad. It's kind of a sketchy translation. It is profitable or unprofitable. Not in this world, before y'all get excited, in God's kingdom. Was it a profitable thing that benefited the kingdom of God in eternity? Or was it a thing that just benefited you and you just hid behind God so that you look spiritual? That's what he's talking about here. And did you know this? Every one of you believers who are here today, every single last one of you, myself included, we will stand before Jesus Christ and He will award us for the things that we did while we were here on this earth. That's what in the body is talking about. In obedience to Him, in accordance with His commands. Or He will not reward us if we just said, hey, you know what? Being saved is good enough for me. And now that I'm saved, well, I'm going to heaven. So I'm just going to go through life and just kind of put it on cruise control and coast. Can I say this to you without hurting your little itty bitty feelings? If that's what you are doing, you are wasting the life that Jesus Christ purchased for you to bring Him glory. Wasting it. If your life is still about you and you're consumed with you and you're consumed with earthly success, here's what Solomon said, meaningless. If your life is about you and you're concerned with earthly gain as a believer, meaningless. Earthly pleasure, guess what? Counts for nothing. You're never going to stand before God and say, well, Lord, I was a successful businessman or a businesswoman and I made lots of money. And you know, Lord, I tithe. You know what He's going to do? He's going to go, okay, that's good. You trusted me with that itty-bitty tenth. So you're rewarded for that because you know what? You tithed with the right heart. Before anything happened, you gave that tenth. But what about all those times when I led you to give extra and you held on as if it were yours? Here's what you missed out on. for all eternity. This is what you. This is the blessing that you forfeited. You will not be able to cast at the feet of Jesus. Oh, I know. Big deal, right? Jesus is just some guy who a lot of you just heard about. Can I tell you this? To me, he's my everything. There will be no greater honor in all the world. You know what? I give blood, sweat, and tears in the body for the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no greater honor in the world. And I promise you this, I couldn't do it without His Holy Spirit living in me. There will be no greater honor in the world for eternity to be able to take those things that He blessed me with that I don't deserve. I promise you, I deserve to be there going to hell in Revelation chapter 20. But I'm going to get to lay those things at the feet of Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus, that you didn't let me waste my life on this earth, that you rescued me, and you rescued me so that I would have a purpose and a goal. And my purpose and my goal is you and your kingdom. So wake up. Wake up. You've complicated your life with all this junk. And one day, I promise, one day it's going to burn up in hell. It's going to burn up in the presence of Jesus Christ. It's worthless. So I ask you, are you going to settle for that? Are you going to settle for that? Because here's the thing. We now know the truth. For he who knows to do right yet chooses to do wrong, James says, to him it is a sin. So you can walk out of here, listen, you can walk out of here, you can be mad at me. Who's that preacher think he is trying to get my billfold? I don't want your billfold. Your billfold is going to burn up, crispy critter, done. You ain't taking it with you. You can leave here and you can say, man, he's just a dream crusher. You can go, I promise you can find you some charismatic preacher who will tell you, chase your dream, find your goals, be you, whatever. I'll tell you what Jesus said, die to you. Crucify your flesh every day. Live for me in spite of everything around you, and one day you'll be rewarded for it. You know what's wrong with us? We want it now, don't we? Bunch of spoiled brat crybabies. I don't want it now. This ain't my home. This is not where I'm going to live forever. I've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. There is a place already established for me with my name on the door, where I get to dwell in the house of God forever. Whatever that looks like, I really don't care. Mine's probably going to be made out of wood, maybe paper. And I'm going to be there with Jesus Christ for all eternity, the one who loved me enough to die for me and pay for my sin. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? You stand on your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. Here's the conclusion in the matter, Solomon says. Conclusion. What it all boils down to. Fear God. Keep His commands. I encourage some of you today to listen to the voice of God commanding you to leave your life of sin, turning from darkness toward His light, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to rescue your soul, to forgive you of all your sin, and to give you eternal life. I pray you hear His voice so that you can be obedient this morning. Fear God and keep His commands. And I pray this, I pray for you believers who are here today, who you have fire insurance and you know that, yeah, though my works will be judged, I'm just kind of coasting through this and I know that I have eternal life. I pray that you would stop wasting your time here on this earth. Some of you would really get focused on storing up treasures in heaven. You guys hear me talk about a guy, Bobby Clark, all the time. Bobby Clark, the last 10 years of his life, gave every ounce of energy, every fiber of his being in Mexico. He told me this before he ever went down to Mexico. I was one of the first people that he met with. He called me and we went and we had breakfast and we drank some coffee and he said, Doc, I feel like so much I've wasted my time in churches all these years begging people to serve Jesus. Begging them to serve Jesus. He said, I'm going down there, and for the last part of my life, I don't know how long that is. He said, he didn't know it was 10 years. We know now. said, for the last part of my life, what I want to do is I want to give everything for a people who are hungry for God, so that I can take that when I enter into glory and lay that at the feet of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give every ounce that I have for Him and for His kingdom. I tell you what, there are people still coming to Christ because of His willingness to say, I don't want to waste the last little bit of life that I have. Here's the thing, we don't know how much we have, do we? But I would say this, don't waste a second. The temporal things of this earth. You're here today and you say, Kurt, I'm afraid I would be one of those people who's standing in judgment in Revelation chapter 20. God's showing me that in my heart, that I don't have a hope of forgiveness and I don't have the hope of eternal life. But I feel God telling me that today He's offering me that. That He's calling me to be one of His children and to be forgiven of all my sin. If that's you and you say, Kirk, that's me, would you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you and pray for you. You say, I want to surrender my life to the Lord Jesus. I want to ask Him to cover me of all my sin and to forgive me so that I stand complete and redeemed before God. Anybody here today who needs Jesus to save them, would you slip up your hand right now? Would you slip up your hand? I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Thank you, ma'am, for being honest. You keep that up. Anyone else who says, I need Jesus to save me, thank you. In the back, thank you. Anyone else who says, I need Jesus to save me, thank you. Look at me eye to eye. If you're that person, everybody else praying. You say, I need Jesus to save me. Thank you, guys. Anyone else who says, that's me. Let me ask you this question, eye to eye, face to face. You look at me, nobody else. You believe God's telling you in your heart today that you need to surrender your life to Jesus. You believe that it's God Himself calling you by His Spirit out of your sin into the righteousness that Jesus Christ paid for you to have. You believe that? Listen, the Bible says this, that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and we shall be saved. You desire that God would save you through Jesus Christ today. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Let me tell you, like I always say, this prayer will not save you. Prayers don't save people. Only Jesus died to save people. With this prayer, you're being obedient to Scripture where it says to confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. Are you willing to do that? I want you to do that with me out loud. We're going to pray. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Don't pray it to me. Pray it to Him if you mean it with your heart. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I need You to forgive me. Jesus, I feel Your Spirit leading me into a relationship with the God who loves me. Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross. I thank You that You rose again so I can have new life today. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with Your Spirit. Teach me to live this new life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for saving me. You raised your hand and you prayed to receive Christ. Whether I saw you, whether I didn't, sometimes I can't see everyone. I would encourage you right now. Get out of your seat with every head bowed and every eye closed. There are prayer partners here down front. I know it's going to take some courage. I promise you that God who's able to save you will give you the strength to humble yourself before all these people. Walk down here. Grab one of these ladies, one of these gentlemen, say, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ today. And they're going to take the Bible and they're going to show you step by step what just happened in the eternal realm as God has rescued your soul, saved you, and you've entered from darkness into light. Right now, as the music begins to play, you get out of your seat. Be obedient to what God has called you to do today. He said, I prayed to receive Christ. Follow through with humbling yourself before all these people. You're here today, you're a believer, you know that. You know that 100%. This. You have been chasing after things of this world. It's what consumes you. You can't sleep at night because you're thinking about how can I be successful? How can I make more money? How can I achieve more worldly goals? Would you be honest with God today? That's all I ask. Would you be honest with God today about where you are in your life? Here's how you do that. If you're a believer here today and you know this, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your sins have been forgiven, you will never ever stand in judgment for your sin. But I promise you today, we just read, you will stand before Jesus and your works will either be eternal or they will be vaporized in a moment. pray if you're not where you know you need to be, as the Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. I pray today that you get on your face at this altar, or you get on your face there at your seat, and you say, Lord God, number one, forgive me that I am wasting the time, the precious time, the short time that you've given me on this earth to do one thing, fear you, and to be obedient. To be obedient to what? Man, there's so many things, but here's a starter. Preaching the gospel which Jesus has led us to preach and left us with the task of doing. Not necessarily preaching it with your mouth, preaching it with your life. When you go to work every day, do they notice there's something different about you? I promise you this, there's someone there who God wants to save, and He wants to use you. He wants to use you as you're obedient in that process. Are you letting God do that? Because I promise you, I long for the day. I long for the day when I get to sit around the throne with a homeless man who I can't even remember his name, who prayed to receive Christ one time with me. Or that stranger at the gas station who I saw them for a brief time, just enough to share the gospel with them. I can't wait to sit around the throne with those students as I preach to them at youth rallies and youth revivals and youth camps. And to know that I was obedient to Christ, and because I was obedient to Christ, I will enjoy treasures like that for all eternity. Where are you? The altars are open. You allow the Holy Spirit to have His way with you. If you need prayer, these folks are down front to pray with you.
Sure.